to our service this morning at Calvary Baptist Church of Treherne. If you take your hymn books and turn to number 483. 483, Oh How I Love Jesus. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of the Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, yield sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can heal my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning that we can sing about loving thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for each one here that can say that honestly, that we love him because of his love for us, and that we've been forgiven and saved through his shed blood. We pray for those that are listening that cannot honestly say that, that they would see their need to humble themselves and turn to thee today and ask thee to forgive them and save them through the blood of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for our internet connection, that it would be strong, that people can hear and respond to thy words and know thy peace and blessing. We continue to pray for the situation in Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for Mr. Netanyahu, that he would be saved. For many others in Israel, as well as many Jews across the world, pray for their salvation. We pray for those Jews that are saved, that they would be growing in thee, and that they would not get caught up in ritualism, but that they would rather follow the truth. We do pray for Mr. Blinken, as he is supposed to be in Israel today, and he is a part Jew, but he's also a wicked man. Pray that he might humble himself and be saved. Pray for our own government, which is anti-Israel. Pray for the salvation of many in our government and many others in this country. We pray also for the situation in Ukraine. As that war seems to be heating up again, we pray for the Christians there, that they'd be faithful to thee and be able to help others to know thy peace and truth. We ask thy will be done as the Dicks plan to move tomorrow. Pray that they would take time to rest today and take time to put thee first. Allow thee to lead and direct them. We pray also for our Zoom meetings, that we can be a help to those that join us, and thy will be accomplished through those meetings. Pray for Ronnie's tooth, that he can get the help that he needs for that, that thy will be done there. We ask that thou wouldst guide and direct us here today, that we would glorify thee in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 20, right?
John 3, verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
John 3, verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds shall be good. John 3, verse 20.
For everyone that doeth evil hate the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be good. John 3:20, for everyone that doeth evil to the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be good.
John 3:20, for everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be good.
Okay, verse 21. For next time. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. You can put your hands down. You're a big boy, right? You're what? You're 3, right? Is that how old you are? You're soon going to be 4. And then you're not going to snore anymore because you're 4. Okay, where's your verse found? Exodus 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Who's the me? You know who the me is? That's God. That's the one who created everything. He is the one that made man. And so Jeremy is made under the image of God. But it's a fallen image. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Where did you get it?
So we've been looking at the matter of inspiration. And inspiration is all scripture given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 speaks of the fact that it is God breathed. It comes directly from God. And so as we look at our Bibles, and a lot of people, they look at the Bible as man's writings, and so they don't really pay much attention to it. They maybe pick on some things and they accept them, and other things they reject. But the Bible is actually God's word. It's the same thing as if God was standing right here today and talking to us. That's when we read the Bible, it's God speaking to us. He used men to write it, but he spoke it and they wrote exactly what he said. And that's something for us to consider as people. When we are told something, how do we accept what we're told? Do we believe it, or do we add our own ideas to it? Especially when it comes to the Bible, do we accept it as the truth and do we memorize it accurately, or do we think it doesn't matter? And God is very concerned that you and I would know the truth. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says there, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." So the Apostle Paul is telling the people in Corinth and us that he's speaking wisdom. He's speaking wisdom, it says, among them that are perfect. Now, perfect there, we said that before, in the sense of the context, not telling us that we are without sin. And Paul here is not speaking to people that are without sin, because there is nobody like that on this earth. Every Christian sins. When it talks about perfect, it talks about being complete. And so what we have is God's word is perfect, and those who are saved are perfect in the sense that we are complete in Christ. We have the ability to hear the truth, we have the ability to learn the truth and to grow from the truth of God's word. And what we need to do is spend time in God's word. Come on in. Hi. Welcome here. We need to spend time in God's word so that we can understand God better. God's word has everything that we need in order to know the truth, and what we need to do is spend time in it. So as we look at the matter of inspiration, again, the Apostle Paul is saying here, yet not the wisdom of this world. So when we look at our world, we realize we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We realize that our world really doesn't have much wisdom. We talked about that in the devotional this morning that I put out, that our world doesn't have much wisdom. When we look at, I use the illustration of a weather forecaster. Used to be, when I was younger, when the forecasts would come out, they were fairly accurate. But when you listen to a weather forecast today, it's not very accurate. And the reason being that they don't use the same method of trying to figure out what's coming. We can never know for sure. But there are things that God gives us that we can look at. We can look at animals. We can see how animals are behaving. And that gives us an indicator of what's coming. We can look at the sky, and we can look at the cloud formations and things like that, and we can see what's coming. Now, we have noticed many times that clouds can form, but they pass over. They don't drop any rain. But there's still some indicators that God gives us, and he says that, Jesus talks about that in the New Testament, that he gives us indicators that we can tell what's coming, but we can never tell 100%. But when we take God out of the equation, when we no longer look at the things that God gives us to indicate what's coming, then we don't have any way of knowing the weather. And we can use that same illustration, and we look at our world and look at Canada, and we look at the situation that Canada is in, and we see that Canada has no idea how to run, our government has no idea how to run this country. They're bankrupting it. The debt load is so great that we'll never pay it. And the reason for that is because our governments have rejected God. And when you reject God, you have no way of seeing the situation at hand and knowing how to deal with it. And so our government has resorted to two things: taxing and taxing more, and after that, taxing more. And then they also give money, they take money from the so-called rich, and they give it to those that they figure are less rich, are poorer. And the problem is that what they are doing is they're causing the poor to become poorer, and the wealthier are still getting wealthy, because the government itself, the people in government, are wealthy and they don't want to hurt themselves. So the wisdom of this world will never get you very far. And that's why we need to believe in God. And that's what the Apostle Paul was directed by God here to write in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, that he was teaching the people the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of this world. And that's what our purpose is here as well. We want people to know the truth. We want people to know, how can you build your life successfully so that you can look into the future, not with your human eye, not with a crystal ball, not looking for some kind of a vision, but looking into the future and making wise choices with what you're planning for your life. And you'll never do that if you go to some psychologist or if you go to your bank manager or people like that, because they don't know. But when you take the Bible, the Word of God, you can make wise decisions. And that's why the Bible teaches the importance of good counselors. We all need counselors, but we need counselors who know the truth, people who are walking with God and can look at God's word and can say, okay, here's where we're at and here's what direction you might consider. And a counselor doesn't tell you you must do this, except when it comes to salvation. If you want to know God's goodness and God's peace, you need to be saved. But again, a good counselor can't force you to be saved. But he can tell you that's where your answer lies. It starts with knowing God. And if you don't want that, well, then you're going to fumble your way through life. You may get rich, you may have houses and travel and all that, but you don't have eternal life, and that's what you need. So God's wisdom is very important for us. And so you notice there as well that Paul says in that verse, he says, nor of the princes of this world. Now, the princes of this world, those are the people who are in high places. They're the people, they're not necessarily the smartest people in the world. And if you look at our country of Canada, when you look at our government officials, I've said this for years, that it seems like when people get into politics, they leave their brain at the door and then they go and be a politician. Because there can be people that seem to be quite smart in the secular world, but as soon as they become a politician, they lose all of that. And it's an interesting thing to see that. So the princes of this world are not necessarily the brightest people, but they're the people that are up there in the places of making decisions. And so our government, again, seeks to make decisions for us. They don't understand the role of government. The role of government is not to tell us how to live. It's to set an environment where we can live at peace. And how is that possible? It's possible when our government recognizes the value of a true church and does not try to interfere with the operation of a true church, but wants people to go to church, but can't force them again, but it needs to set the environment for it. When I was a child, I remember that on Sundays, I grew up in Ontario, but on Sundays, it was a rare thing to see a semi on the road. They weren't on the road. In fact, when I was a child, stores, grocery stores, were closed on Sundays. That's how the government can make an opportunity for people to at least consider, we've got the time, let's go to church. But when the government opens everything up, that you have all the business going on Sunday that you have on Monday, lost people, they're going to go to the store, they're going to go to the golf club, they're going to go wherever because it's open and it gives them some place to go besides church. Now, that's not forcing people to go to church. They still can go out to the park or whatever, but there's things that they can't do, which gives them more opportunity to consider God. And that is the place of government, to set the environment for people to consider God. But when the government doesn't consider God, how can you expect them to make it easy for people to consider God? So we have a government right now in Canada and across the world, governments that are fighting against the truth. And so it says in verse 6, the last part there, that come to naught. So if you follow the counsel of our government in Canada, because that's where we live, if you follow that, it's not going to get you to where you need to go. Years ago when I was farming, the older farmers told me, because I was a younger farmer, and they said, if you want to know what crops to plant, listen to what the government says and then do the opposite of what they say. That's what they told me. And you know, I learned that that was good advice, because the government, again, they don't look into the future properly. They can't see properly. And so you can't use them for that kind of a thing. And the problem today is that there are too many people that are being trained to depend on the government, and the government has become their god. So what we've done in Canada is, you know, they say that history repeats itself unless you learn from it and you take a different course. But we are seeing in Canada that we are becoming very much like the Egyptians of Bible times and the Roman government and so on, where those nations, their leaders assumed that they were gods and they expected worship from the people. And what do our leaders expect? Mr. Trudeau went to Brampton a few days ago, and he went there with eight specially equipped vehicles that were designed for his entourage, eight of them, to go to Brampton. And there were few people that were out there to meet him, and most of those that were out there were chanting slogans against him, not in his favor. But he comes in with this entourage of eight big vehicles, and then he wants us all to drive electric vehicles or not to drive at all. But he comes in with this parade expecting us to look highly of him when he hasn't proven himself to be worthy of our trust and our respect. So we see again that the world system is built upon nothing. It's built upon the lies of the devil, and so it's wise to know the true God and then to follow him. And so, as we mentioned already in our verse there, it tells us that the wisdom of the world is the wisdom that is able to make us perfect. It's able to give us everything that we need to be able to make wise choices if we take the Bible as our authority. The wisdom of God's word is very important for us. And that's why a church like this is very important. It's sad that not more people see the value of it, but God's word is what will give us the opportunity to make wise decisions. If you look at the verses that we have in the front of our pulpit, you know, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And that is very true. You cannot build a good house if God's not the builder. And that's talking about your life. So in verse 7, it says there, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So we see again here, as we mentioned a couple of days ago in a devotional that I sent out, and from Hebrews chapter 13, where some people think that the writer of the book of Hebrews added those last verses of Hebrews 13 because he forgot to add them in earlier on. Well, what that suggests, if you take that position, It tells people that you don't believe that God knows everything and he forgot something and so he had to stick it in afterwards. Now, sometimes when we do something, when we write something, we will put an appendix to the paper that we've written. An appendix is something that we add on afterwards because we didn't fit it in, maybe we didn't have the space or we didn't want to put it in there, so we stuck it at the end. God never forgets anything. He has all of the scripture. He had it all in his mind before he ever told the people to write it down. And so we look at our verse here, and it talks about the wisdom of God in a mystery. We don't understand all of God. And in the Old Testament, when God wrote about Jesus, he wrote about him, but he didn't mention his name. So there was a mystery there. The people knew that there was a Messiah that was coming. The wise men knew that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And the people knew that he was going to be born of a virgin. They knew that. And the Old Testament was written in a mystery form in the sense that it did not give all the details that we have in the New Testament. And God had his purposes for doing that. If you look at Romans chapter 16, one of the things that's important that God wants us to know is that he is far wiser than we are. He wants us to know that, and he wants us to trust in him. You see, when I was a child, and probably for most of you, when you were a child, you looked to your dad and you saw what your dad could do and you thought he was the greatest man in the world. There's a time in our lives when we think that way. Then as we get a little older and we observe things about our fathers and we observe things about other men of the same age and we look at, oh, that man figured that out and my dad can't do that and so on. And so then we begin to see that our dads are not the ultimate person. Doesn't mean we don't respect them, but we realize that they're not as high and mighty as we once thought they were. But the thing with God is that we will never come to the place, if we look at him honestly, of thinking there must be somebody smarter than God. Lost people think that way, but not Christians. So in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, it says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." So the Apostle Paul, again, is directed by God here to speak of a mystery. A biblical mystery is not a mystery movie where whodunit, but a biblical mystery is simply that God knows everything, but he does not lay everything out to us all at one time. He spreads it out over a time period. The Bible was written over a time period of about 1,600 years. So God spread out his truth, he revealed it to man over a period of about 1,600 years. But Adam knew everything that he needed to know how to live a good life. Noah did as well. So the key factors that we need to know, God has always made them available to man. So every individual from the fall of Adam, every individual has known the need for a Savior. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 tells us that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. So that was before Cain and Abel were born. That they knew, Adam and Eve knew, there was going to be the seed of a woman, not of a man, the seed of a woman that was going to bruise the head of the serpent. And in chapter 4, we find that Cain and Abel knew enough about God that they knew that a blood sacrifice was required. Abel chose to follow what he knew. Cain decided, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to develop my own religion. God didn't accept his religion. Cain was not willing to repent. He was not willing to learn. And he defied God and murdered his brother. So what do we got today? We have a multitude of churches, but most of the churches are developing their own religion. They're not following what the Bible says. They're following what some man has decided. And because they're man-made, they're always changing. And if you're a person that believes in the perversions, you will find that there's, in our country, or in English-speaking world, there are over 100 different perversions of the Word of God. 100, over 100. And if you compare them, every one of them says things a little bit differently. And so you have a lot of preachers today who don't understand the issues, some of them not even saved. So they don't recognize the problem with that. And so you'll find preachers who shoot their verses up on a screen and they say, I like the way this translation says it as compared to the way this one does. Well, who cares what you like? What matters is what did God say? And God did not write in a confusing manner. And nothing in the Bible can contradict something else in the Bible. So if you follow the perversions, you don't have any absolute truth. So you cannot make firm decisions. You cannot make firm statements because you don't have an absolute authority. And of course, the devil wants man to follow that path because the devil doesn't believe in the truth. He tested Eve. He deceived her and twisted God's word and had her twist God's word. So that's his nature. But the Bible is absolute if we have the Bible. And that's important that we understand that. And that's something that every pastor should understand and should be making sure that his people understand that. That there is a difference between the King James and the New King James. There's a difference between the King James and the NIV. There's a difference between the NIV and the New King James. There's a difference between the New American Standard and the Revised Version. Every one of them is a little bit different. And yet people say it's all God's word. Well, God doesn't speak with a forked tongue. He doesn't confuse us, and he never changes his word. From one generation to another, it's the same. And as it tells us here in Romans chapter 16 and even in 1 Corinthians 2, it tells us here in verse 25, which was kept secret since the world began. So it was secret to us, but not secret to God. And so God is revealing his truth to us as he sees fit. And for us today, we know that God is finished revealing his truth to us. He tells us that in the book of the Revelation. It's done. So God's not adding anything more to the scriptures now. It's done. It's finished. And there's more in the scriptures than we can ever understand in our lifetime. So we don't need any more. God knows that. There's much more he could tell us about himself and about history and so on. But we don't need any more. We need to learn to follow what he is telling us now. So it tells us back in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, just as we've been talking about, it says there, the last part of that verse, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So the things that God revealed in the New Testament through the epistles, and even when Jesus was on this earth, those things, again, were all in God's mind before he ever made man. But again, he revealed them as time moved along. And they're for our benefit if we will accept them. And if we don't, it doesn't change the word. It just makes us make a mess of things. In verse 8, it says, which none of the princes of this world knew. So again, even David. David was a godly king, but he didn't know everything that the New Testament speaks of. He never talked about the local church. He was looking for a temple. He had the tabernacle, and he wanted to build a temple. And that was God's design, but not for David to build it. It was Solomon that would build the temple. But what was the temple? Everything in the temple, including the temple itself, is a picture of Jesus Christ. That's why there was so much gold in the temple. It's not just to make it rich, but gold is a picture of deity. And Jesus Christ is the second person of the Godhead. And so the temple was a picture of Jesus Christ. And that's why in AD 70, God allowed the Romans to destroy the temple. Because when Jesus Christ came to this earth, and when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, it tells us that the veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, making it possible for everyone now to enter into the holiest place. What was the holiest place for? Well, the high priest could only enter that place once a year. He had to first make a blood sacrifice for himself, and then he could go in with a blood sacrifice to make an atonement for the people. Jesus Christ came, and he didn't just make an atonement for the people, but he made it possible for our sins to be forgiven, to be taken out of the way. And so the temple was no longer needed as that place after Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood and rose again and ascended back to heaven. So the temple was still there for about another 40 years after Jesus' ascension. But after that, he took it out of the way. Now the Jews today in Israel and across the world, if they're unsaved, they're still looking to build a new temple. And interestingly, Mr. Tony Blinken is in Israel today, and he said this week, he said in the United States that the Jews need to stop praying. Because he believes that the fact that the Jews go to the Wailing Wall, and because they always want to get up on the Temple Mount, he believes that that's part of the problem. If the Jews would just stop praying, the Arabs would then be able to have their false god Allah, and there'd be no conflict. Well, that's not the answer. But he's a lost man. He's a wicked man, even though he's part Jew. But he's a wicked man. And he's going to pay for that one day unless he gets saved. But he's in Israel today. And again, he's trying to get Israel to surrender to Hamas. And that's not the answer. But you see, lost people have this idea, if we could get rid of religion, we could have peace. But what lost people don't understand or don't want to understand, and they don't want to admit, is that we are all religious people. Even if you don't believe in the true God, you're still religious. You believe in something. A lot of people back in the days of John Lennon believed in John Lennon. And John Lennon wrote that song that is still being talked about today called Imagine. And one of the things in that song, Imagine, there's no heaven, there's no hell, and there's no God. And you see, but he didn't realize that he was worshiping Eastern mysticism. That's where the Beatles got their inspiration for a lot of their songs. They went to the gurus in the Middle East, or not in the Middle East, in India. And that's where they got their inspiration for their songs. So it's not a matter of that we're going to abolish religion. It's just that people don't want the true God. And if you have false religions, most of them outside of Islam, there's room for a multiplicity of gods. Islam is a monotheistic religion, but it's a false religion. They have one God, and that's Allah, which is not the same as the true God, and they expect everyone to surrender to Allah. The Catholics, they have many gods. You can worship whatever god you want and be a Catholic. The Hindus have many gods, and so on. So that's what the world wants, They want a multiplicity of God so that there is no absolute. And you can have yours and I can have mine and we'll just all get together. And when we come together, we're not going to talk about our gods. We're just going to talk about things that mean nothing and we can laugh about. That's what the world wants. So in verse 9 of our text, 1 Corinthians 2, it tells us, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." So there are things that God wants you and I to know, but in order for us to know them, we need to love him. How can we do that? Nobody is born loving God. The only way that we can love God is if we first receive his love. And John 3:16, a verse that we memorized, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So we need to receive God's love. And once we receive his love, now we can pass that love on to others through our words and through our actions. But how do we do that? By pointing people to the Word of God. Not by abandoning the Word of God and just saying whatever we want to. So, "eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." So it's not a normal thing for us to choose God. And in Romans chapter 3, if you go back there, the Apostle Paul reminds us of that there as well. Romans chapter 3, it tells us in verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." So what causes people to get saved? Is it because we live in a certain environment where we can do that and the people in the Amazon jungles can't? No. What causes people to get saved? Why do people, even from the Amazon jungle, get saved? Well, the fact is that God is drawing all people to himself. The Holy Spirit of God is everywhere, just as God the Father is. The Holy Spirit is working in the heart of every individual to help that individual to see the need to know the true God. That's why Psalm 19 tells us, "The heavens declare the glory of God." So whether you live in Canada, whether you're the Prime Minister of Canada, or whether you sweep the floor for your boss in Canada, or whether you live in the jungles of Africa, it doesn't matter. Everybody can look up to the sky. And when you look up to the sky, you can see that there is someone who designed something much bigger than we are. Even if man does an experiment and he tries to create a cloud, he can't make that cloud stay around very long. You can cause steam. You drive to Port-au-Prairie and you see the Simplot French fry facility there. There's steam pouring off of that building all the time because they're making French fries. But how long does that steam hang around? Not very long. You can have clouds in the sky that you see them in the morning and they're still there in the evening. So we know when we look up into the sky, we know that there is someone. If we just allow our minds to do the thinking, forget about being brainwashed by the teacher who wants to tell you that everything happened by evolution. If you just look into the sky, a young child looks into the sky, sees the clouds, sees the birds flying up there, he knows that there's something bigger out there than man. And so God is using that to help us to know him. And every person is born with a conscience. And in that conscience, every person knows the basic difference between right and wrong. And so, again, it's the foolishness of man that brainwashes young children to think outside of what the Bible would normally have them think about. And so children get ideas in their heads that are wrong, and they develop those ideas, and they cause themselves a lot of problems. And that's why godly parents are important. That's why a good church is important, to be able to help children to look at life differently than what their normal thinking would do, and to help them to be attuned more to the work of the Holy Spirit in their heart, seeking to help them to see their need to repent and be saved. So that's very important to understand that. So the scriptures are very important. It's through the scriptures that we're going to know the truth. There's no other way that it's going to happen. And so for me as a pastor, if I'm going to be of any help to anybody, it's when I use the Word of God properly to show people what God says. Not what I say, but what does God say? And that's what we all need to know. And that's the only way of salvation. That's the only way of blessing. We're out of time, so we'll stop there and carry on there next time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again that we have this opportunity to study Thy Word. Thankful that Thy Word is Thy Word. It's not something that was imagined by man. And we're thankful that we have a God that, in spite of the fact that the devil and people, many people, have tried to alter Thy Word and change it, we're thankful that we still have Thy Word today. We can still know the truth. I pray for each one that's listening today that each one would see the importance of truth in their lives, want to build their lives upon the truth, and know Thy peace and blessing. Prepare us for the preaching hour. Pray that Thy will be accomplished. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.